Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, Is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs? And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now turn and let's look at the same account in Mark chapter number 7. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke are often called the synoptics, are very similar in style and writing. John starts with the deity. The lineage of Jesus starts back, way back as you read the Gospel of Matthew and Luke. And it starts his ancestry on the human side, we might say. But John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So it's a little bit different. But you'll find that the writing's very similar. But oftentimes people say, is there a conflict? Not a conflict. You just get more details when you read it. Kind of like two people witness an accident. Both of them can tell you the absolute truth what they saw, but they may have saw it from a different angle and picked up more details. And so Mark, when he gives it, he gives a little bit of detail that maybe Luke left out. Matthew gives detail that Mark left out. But either way, we get the whole picture, and that's what we're trying to do tonight. And so we come to Mark chapter 7 at verse 24. And the Bible says, And from thence he arose and went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house, and he could have no man know it, but he could not be hid. And that informs us something about the person of Christ. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. And the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that the Word of God stands in its inerrancy, and we can stand without apology and say, this is your Word, that it's real. It's not phony. It's not fake. It doesn't have error. It's not been tainted with the thoughts of men. But it is the very words that you want us to read tonight because of your preservation. Father, we're thankful for that. We're thankful that the Bible is true, and we're going to preach tonight with your help. God, the needs of life can be met through Jesus Christ. Every once in a while, all we need is a crumb. And God, I pray tonight for those that are here. Maybe they're dealing with many things, but God, there's something in their life that's beyond them. God, they just need a crumb. I pray that you'd give it to them in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody, I believe, probably tonight, most people here has some type of need in their life. That's no-brainer, wherever you come from. Some people have more than one. If you've really thought about it, it might be some family issue. Sometimes there's family conflicts. Sometimes there's financial problems, maybe financial disasters. Sometimes it can be rebellious children. Sometimes it may be an individual soul condition. They know that there's a need there that they need to take care of. It might be a disease. It may be problems ahead. It may be even sometimes dealing with aging parents. Listen, I could stand here tonight, probably go on endlessly on the type of problems that we are facing. You see, every once in a while, we need someone to help. Have you ever felt like that? You just want to throw your hand up and say, help, right here. God, can I have your attention? I'm right here. I need your help. And it's not that we need God to remove every burden, but probably the biggest burdens. It's not that we need God to remove every mountain, it's just the highest mountains we need help with. I think we go through those periods in life that we need God, and we need God to not necessarily give us the whole loaf, but we need God to give us some crumbs. And here's what a woman we find in this passage. She wasn't asking for a whole loaf, she was just asking for a crumb. Now, what you'll find was that this is interesting where this lies in the context of Scripture, because Jesus had just dealt with the Pharisees, and Pharisees started talking about everything. It was unclean, and disciples didn't do this, disciples didn't do that, and therefore they were defiled. And what you'll find in verses 14 through 16, Jesus makes it clear that nothing of itself is unclean. Nothing of itself. Listen, it's the same thing as people say guns kill. Listen, you lay a gun on the table and tell it to kill somebody all day long. It ain't going to kill anybody until somebody picks it up and shoots somebody. Amen? So it's the person that does it. And so nothing of itself is in itself sinful or wrong, but it's when it's misused, we might say. And so Jesus dealt with that. But not only that, he said, listen, for what defiles a man is what's in the heart of a man. And I believe what defines a man is not necessarily where he come from, but what's happened in his heart. And so Jesus deals with these issues, and basically what's amazing to me, suddenly starts dealing with a Gentile. And you got to realize, in the Jewish mindset, everybody outside Judaism was unclean and defiled and disgusting, like nasty pigs, and they needed to stay away from them. And so Jesus, understanding this, had taught this truth to his disciples when confronting the Pharisees. Now it's going to be time for him to make a real life application of this, okay? And so that's what Jesus does. And he's very good at that. Probably those lessons fresh in their mind. In fact, they break away and try to find a place where he's not so well known that they might get a break. And I like what the scriptures say about these things, that he arose and went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon, which were Gentile cities, Phoenician cities, and he entered into a house and would have no man know it. In other words, he's trying to rest from the busyness of life, ministry. But the Bible says that he could not be hid. People were looking for him. People wanted access to him. People wanted to be around him. And so what you'll find is, as the word gets out, there's a mother who is desperate. She's desperate with what's going on in life, and she's outside of the realm of Judaism. We're going to see here just in a second. And there's no mention necessarily of her husband, other family members. Seems to me that this woman is trying to handle this on her own. And with this, she's carrying a great burden that she can't carry anymore. And what she does, she goes to Jesus. May I say to you, that's what we need to do. When we get to the place, we just can't carry it anymore. We've exhausted all the resources. And I preached a little bit about this Sunday night. We need to get to the Son of God. Whether it's the woman with the issue of blood, she pressed through and got to the Son of God. And so this woman, she said, I'm going to get to Jesus, whatever it takes. And she threw away her pride and she makes a request. Now, we understand the reason that she came. She had a child that was possessed of the devil. Now, it doesn't give too many descriptions of what she went through in Matthew and Mark, but I want to tell you, as you read the scriptures, often you find those that were possessed of devils were cutting upon themselves, they were trying to kill themselves, they were lunatics, some were living among the graves, some were running around naked, some just had no self-control, no restraint, and were harmful to themselves and to others around. So here was this daughter, a young daughter, the Bible says, that was possessed with the devil. This woman, she has a reason to come. And may I say to you, what you find here, the reason behind that she come. In Matthew chapter number 15, I want you to see this. Matthew chapter number 15, verse 22 through 23. The Bible said, behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried and said, have mercy unto me. You see the reason she came, but notice the reason she cried. She said, my daughter is grievously vexed. Listen, it's serious. She's in a serious situation. And the Bible says that the disciples got aggravated and said, she crieth after us. That word cry means to cry loud and lament. This woman was sobbing. It was serious. She wasn't playing church. She wasn't, and you've seen phonies and you've seen fakes. People that act like, oh, woe is me. Everything's awful. It wasn't that. This was a serious situation to her. This was something that had totally encompassed her mind and her heart. And listen, she comes and we see that she cries out to the Son of God. She was heartbroken. I believe she was frantic. And may I say to you, the Bible in Mark chapter number 7 and verse 25 says this, that she had heard of Him. That's the reason she came. Now the story had spread like wildfire from Mark chapter number 5. When Jesus come to the coast of the Gadarenes, after they'd been up on that storm that night, and Jesus said, "Peace be still," there met him a man that lived among the tombs. You remember that? They had a legion. Jesus cast out the demons into a herd of swine, and they drowned in the Sea of Galilee. Now, this story had spread. Why? Because everybody, when they arrived and saw this man, no longer was he living among the tombs, no longer was he naked, no longer was he crazy. The Bible said they found him sitting in his clothes, he was clothed and in his right mind. Nobody could tame him. And you know what, in her mind, if Jesus could heal a man that had a legion of demons in him, surely he can help me with my problem when my daughter only has one demon. You can understand the logic. She comes crying out to the Son of God. And so he was the only hope she had. The only hope. Man, it's a blessed thing when we get to our life, and even a good thing, whether we like it or not, when we get to the place that we're resolved that Jesus is our only help. That Jesus is our only hope. That's where He wants us to be. But before you can get saved, you have to come to that place. You realize Jesus is your only hope, and you believe on Him. Amen? And once you get there, you can get saved. And once you got problems in life, listen, you say, "He's the only one that can help me." That's where He wants you. He wants you dependent. And so we find here her request, see her resolve. You say, how was her resolve involved? You're not reading this story. Doesn't it seem kind of heartless? It does to me. Every time I've read it and I thought about it, and I read it last week, and I thought about it more this week, and contemplated, I thought, man, this seems heartless. Kind of like one of those passages, guy said, Jesus, he said, I want to follow you. First, let me go bury my father. And what did Jesus say? He said, let the dead bury the dead. And understanding the culture now, seems kind of heartless to us, but understanding the culture, that day, that was just a typical excuse to get out of something. Well, I'll do this, but I got to bury my dad. Some guys, I guess, will understand reading history and in culture books, they use that excuse often. I couldn't imagine using that excuse 5 or 6 times. Well, I can't help you today. Bradley says, we got some fencing there. I can't help you today. I got to go bury my dad. Really? I'm sorry about that. Yeah. Next week he hollers at me and he says, hey, I'm needing help changing some tractor tires. Sorry, I got to go bury my dad. He's stinking pretty good by now. Amen. You imagine using that? Seems heartless what Jesus said, but understanding. But here, when I read this account, it just seems like He's heartless. It seems like the disciples are heartless. But I believe what He was trying to do is help her grow in faith. Help her grow in faith. And so there were some obstacles that there. And you say, what's the first one was race. You look at verse number 26. The Bible says the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nature, or by nation. That tells us, as you read Matthew chapter 15 through 22, what you'll find, this woman was a Canaanite. A Canaanite. Let me just tell you a little bit about their background. You remember who the Canaanites were? They were a cursed people. You're reading the book of Deuteronomy, and Joshua was to go into the land of Canaan, the promised land. Were they to leave any Canaanites alive? They were to kill every single one of them. Why was that? Because they were notoriously wicked. They were a people that was, let me just say to you, just wicked in every aspect, ungodly bunch of pagans. And he knew if any of them were left alive, that the people would not influence them to the God of heaven, but rather they'd be influenced to paganism. And by the way, they didn't kill them all, and guess what happened? They got influenced and started worshiping idols in the land of promise. And so, listen, she was a people from a people, we might say, who was from a condemned race. And so that their destiny was to be annihilated. And so that what we know about that, their people was they were, their religious practices was vile. It was vulgar. They were known for taking babies and bashing their heads against stones and offering them up to the fire gods and the gods of fertility. I mean, what a wicked, wicked culture. And so we see that there's some obstacles here. When she shows up, the Bible tells us very clearly the disciples and Jesus knew when He was there what kind of person she was and what her background was. That's an obstacle to get over sometimes. Unless she had the obstacle of race, she had the obstacle of religion. Because what's interesting to me in Matthew, let me flip back over there. I'm glad I got these little two little things here that help me flip back and forth. Matthew 15:22, the Bible says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." Now, that was a title that was reserved for the Messiah. Wait a minute. What's a Gentile calling him by messianic title? She had no right or no privilege. Only a Jew could do that. All right? You understand that? So here's not only an obstacle she has to come over. It's not only race, but also religion. And you, if you read the account, Jesus just ignored her. He ignored her. He didn't even say anything to her. And she's crying out and said, "Have mercy," but he answered her not a word. Well, she didn't have any business calling him. That was a right that she could only enter through Judaism. Now, not only that, we see not only was there race involved in religion, but I believe racism involved, because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 15, again, verse 23, the disciple, and Jesus answered not a word, came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries after us." She's driving us crazy. We don't want this Gentile woman crying after us. She don't have no right or no business here with us. They felt justified because she was a Canaanite woman not helping her. Do you think they would have felt different if it had been a Jewish woman? Amen, I do. I don't believe she'd been handled this way, do you? I don't think so. But see, it seems pretty harsh here. None of the racism, there's rejection. It seems to be pretty harsh to me. Think of the rejection. Jesus not even speaking to her. The disciples saying, "Get rid of this woman." Then you come again, Matthew 15:23. Notice the Bible says she cries after us. He answered not a word. And she said, I'm not sent. I'm not sent, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, I've not come to help the Gentiles here. He said, I'm just come to preach to the Gentiles. So that's not just the case, but she came, the Bible says, and she worships him. Now, she's been rejected every way around. Now, I want you to understand, she's not received a warm welcome. But he answered and said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." I don't know about you, but someone said that to me, I'd probably get mad and say, this religious crowd is a bunch of phonies. This religious crowd is a bunch of fakes. They really don't care. And I would probably got up and left. But may I say to you, you find that her faith, dear friends, is one that had resolved. And you see, the reality of her situation was rough. Here, she was with a group of people that didn't want to have anything to do with her. They didn't want to take time to listen to her. It appears that way. And not only that, you'll find her daughter is possessed. I mean, the reality of her situation being a Canaanite, there was racism involved. From the group of race that she come from, they were a group of people that the Jews were supposed to have annihilated. And it seems to me that nobody cares there one bit. But not only do we see the obstacles of her faith, I want you to see the opportunity for faith. Because this woman latched on to something. And I didn't get it till reading some this week. And then I got my Greek dictionaries out. I'm no Greek scholar by no means. But searched two or three dictionaries and some language books, and it is a very interesting observation here, and I want to share it with you. Here was the opportunity for faith. The Bible tells us, as you go back to chapter 15 of Matthew, and he said not a word unto her, and said, "I'm not sent," in verse 24, "but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me, help me." Notice her cry, "Help me." Now the Bible says, and he answered and said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." You say, what was it that I found? I'm just going to throw it out because I think it's if anything, it's a crumb for me. Or a nugget, what are you going to say? You see, the Jews, what they often refer to the Samaritans, they called them dogs, did they not? It was being an old hound dog or an old cur dog, an old, nasty. In Belize, I believe they call them potlickers, okay? That's what they find along the street, just potlickers. And that's what they referred to the Samaritans. You'll find in scriptures that the Jews referred to in history tells us they referred to whoremongers as dogs. They use this word, for dogs is what they called them. And then they also, the homosexuals, you know what they called them? They called them dogs. Samaritans, homosexuals, right there, whoremongers, were called dogs. The Jews. They were filthy, nasty, mangy dogs in their minds. And if you wasn't a Jew, sometimes even if you wasn't in those other categories, simply not being a Jew, you were considered a dog like this. And that's what it meant. But the word that Jesus used is a little bit different. In fact, Jesus did use that word for dogs when he said, listen, you don't cast your pearl before swine. You remember that? And you don't want to be trampled under. But he used in that same context passage, he referred to dogs there. You don't give what's holy to the dogs. Jesus used that word, but he uses a different word here. And the word that he used for dogs is not a mangy scoundrel dog, but rather a puppy like a house pup. He uses a different terminology here. Now, people are crazy about puppies, are they not? You can come through holding a baby. Some people will hold them. Some people want to grab them and kiss. Some people go crazy. Some people look and say it's a baby. You come through holding a puppy, everybody wants to pet that thing. Everybody wants to hold that thing. Everybody wants to touch that thing. Some people pick that puppy up and they'll hug it and they'll snuggle it and they'll squeeze it till the eyeballs about ready to pop out. Amen? I mean, they're crazy over dogs. They're puppies. Jesus used a word that was used for a house pet, a young puppy that everybody loved. Now, I'm saying this woman, she hears this. She was expecting to be called a dog. Different word. I promise you. You study it. What you'll find is what Jesus used a term there that gave her hope. This woman, she hears this. She latches onto it. It's an opportunity there. She understands what's going on here. Listen, it's like a puppy that's anxiously sitting at the table. It's just waiting for crumbs to fall. Now, I know how some people are about their dogs. They love the dogs. And here's a puppy sitting there waiting for the crumbs to fall. It can smell it. It can sense it. Man, it can about taste it. It's just waiting for somebody to hand them a crumb underneath the table. It don't get the main course, but it gets just a crumb, and that's all that it needs and then all that it wants. And this woman says, you know what? I may be considered a dog, but listen, I don't need the main course. I just need a crumb. I just need something from God. I just need a little bit from God. May I say to you, and sometimes we get to our life, it ain't that we're needing something great big from what God can do, a God that can speak the world into existence. Sometimes we just need a crumb from God. This woman, she persisted in spite of everything thrown her way. Why was it? Why was it she did? I'll tell you why. Because her heart was broken. She had a great need. And I want to tell you something. It don't matter what obstacles are in your way. It don't matter how people treat you. You listen to me. When you have a great need in your life, whatever that need may be, you will be persistent in getting to the Son of God. God can hear and God can and God wants to answer your prayers. God wants to come. What was her reward? You look at it in chapter 15, verse 28. Jesus says to her, Jesus said, O woman, great is thy faith. By the way, who did Jesus say had great faith? He said the centurion had great faith, had a sick servant. He said this woman had great faith. He didn't say anything about any of the Jews having great faith. The two Gentiles, Jesus said, had great faith. May I say to you, the disciples must have stood in awe. And I wonder if Jesus took the time to teach the lessons that he had taught just previously to the Pharisees and his disciples in Mark chapter 7 and Matthew chapter 15. Jesus not only responded, Jesus rewarded her faith. You know, the Bible, I like what it says here, that when Jesus told her this, he said, woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. The woman didn't say, Lord, give me a sign. Lord, come to my house. She didn't say that. The Bible says her daughter was made whole from the very hour. You go into Mark chapter number 7, I believe it is, and when she comes home, she came to her house in verse number 7. She found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. You want me to tell you what faith is? Faith is simply taking God at His word. She took God at His word. Great faith. Listen, you're not get saved till you take God at His word. Listen to me, I promise you this, if you'll believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. You take Him at His word. You say, oh, what a story here. Here is a woman, she didn't need nothing big, she just needed a crumb. Now, you might be like her today. You might think that nobody cares. You might think that everybody's out to get you. Nobody understands. Nothing's ever going to change. But I want to tell you what, this woman was persistent regardless of the obstacles that was there. Why? Because there's hope and there's a need. If there's a need in your life, I want to say to you, there's hope. Thank God there's something we have that the world don't have. There's hope. Man, I can remember them when Brother Price came and said, listen, your grandpa's praying for you. He's praying for you every day. No doubt my grandpa had heard the stories. He'd heard the stories, what we was doing down at the gas station down at Burnside. Whether it was cooking the hash or growing weed or at times maybe I had a neighbor close to my grandpa. They literally found us in the road and he drug us out of the road right before he almost ran over us, me and a cousin. And he heard about that. Say my grandpa really just lashed out at me and just gave me a tongue lashing. Tell you what he did. He sat there and looked at me and cried and cried. I want to say to you, friends, he looked in his eyes like there wasn't much hope. But I tell you what he did. He kept praying. You may have somebody in your life tonight you think is beyond hope. Let me just tell you, they're not beyond hope. You just persist in prayer. You just keep bringing it. You just keep bringing it to the Lord in prayer. You never know what God might do. You say, I don't know, but you don't understand. Grant, maybe that was you. Maybe that was your grandpa's prayers, but I don't know about me. You just don't understand how big a problem is. It may not be someone that's out here living like hell itself. It may be some problem you have within your family you're not getting along. It may be a rebellious child. It may be a sickness. It may be a heartache. It may be financial. It can be any of those areas, a marriage that's on the rocks. You say, you don't understand how big my problem is. Let me tell you, I understand one day Jairus had a daughter at the point of death. He went and got Jesus. And that meant that he was, being a ruler of the synagogue, he was going to lose his social standing. He didn't care. Now, I tell you what Jairus did on the way. They come to him and said, your daughter's dead. But Jairus kept believing and he saw the Son of God raise Jairus' daughter to life. That's how big his problem was. Mary and Martha had a brother that was dead. His problem was so big. Let me tell you, he'd been dead 4 days and was stinking. But as I said Sunday, when he's 4 days late, what? He's right on time. He showed up when God's timing's always perfect. Listen to me. That problem wasn't too big for God. You'll find one day there's a multitude of people. The Bible says 5,000 men. And all they had to offer was 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. Amen. But the Son of God prayed and He blessed it. And guess what happened? It was more than enough to feed everybody there. There was a problem, but Jesus was sufficient to the task. You'll find that the disciples are out on the Sea of Galilee. Man, they're out in the storm. Seems they lost all hope. And finally somebody says, Master, carousel not that we perish. He stands up, speaks, rebukes the wind, the sea. Listen to me, everything goes to a calm. Listen, they had a great problem. They thought they were all going to die that night. Listen to me, they wasn't on the Titanic, thank God. They were sailing with the Son of God. When you're sailing with the Son of God, there's no worries. Listen, I want you to understand that night, it was desperate. You'll look, he could say, hey, look, here's a leper. Look how desperate his was. His skin was rotting and falling off, his ears and nose, but the Son of God spoke to him and healed him. Look, there's a blind man. I want you to understand that blind man went all his life and never saw, but when he met the Son of God, his situation was desperate as a beggar, but thank God, listen to me, his life was changed. There's hope there. I mean, I could go on whether it was someone that was crippled. You can look at people that were possessed in the Scriptures, but let me tell you more than that. Jesus was like dying on the cross. You'll find that it seemed all hope was gone. He wouldn't come down and prove who he was. He could have called for the angels to come and deliver him, but he didn't. And there he died. They took him. They buried him. It looked like death and Satan had the victory. But listen here, that wasn't the end of the story. It looked like there was no hope. His disciples went in retreat. His disciples were mourning. His disciples, listen to me, they were at a point where they were just discouraged. They didn't know what to do. They were confused. But listen, on that third and glorious day, everything changed. Hey, I'm going to say to you, listen to me, I don't know what your problem is. I don't know how big your problem is. But Jesus specializes in big problems. He is the remedy for big problems. And I believe today that He's still yet the same God. I believe He loves us just the same. And so, if He can do this, if He can do all this, what can He do for your problem? I promise you, He is still more than enough for your problem. Listen, I like 15:28. I like it when she looks and says, Jesus and her woman, great is thy faith. Why is that? Because she said, yet the dogs eat the crumb which fall from the master's table. This woman didn't want a whole loaf. She just needed a little bit. Let me tell you a bit, a little bit of God to fix anything you need. A little bit of God. And tonight you may be here, and I don't know what you're going through, but your problem may be big. It may be troublesome. It may be something that you think there's a barrier in your way that's preventing you to get to the Son of God. I don't know what your barrier is, but I want to tell you this. Tonight, if you'll push and come and say, God, I need help, He can give you peace. He can give you grace. They'll pass all understanding. And I'm thankful for a God like that. I'm not needing anything big. I just need crumbs from time to time, and He'll give you a crumb tonight. Father, I thank You for the Word of God. Thankful for crumbs. Many times in my life, God, You've given me just enough for what I need then. And God, we come to You in all our problems. They may be big to us, but Your crumbs are more than enough. God, help us to see that nothing's big for You. Nothing's too big. Nothing's too difficult. And God, I don't know what burden someone's carrying. I don't know what's going around that's weighing upon their mind. But God, You do. And tonight, if someone's here and they're needing a crumb, I pray, Father, they'll come and say, God, I need Your strength. I need Your grace. Someone here that's lost and undone in sin, never been saved, I pray, God, that You would speak to them. And God, may they come tonight and get what they need. There's no reason. I don't care what their religious background is. I don't care if they've made a false profession of faith. Lord, this woman had obstacles in her life too, things that she just seemed difficult to get past. God, I pray tonight will be the night people respond with genuine saving faith if they're lost. But God, we pray that You would meet these needs. I pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.